Okay, we're beginning here in the middle of Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph by the two dots. Varotev. These are the items that are mentioned in our Mishnah that are mitzareif to Tumat Ochlim. One of those that was mentioned is the rotev. And the Gemara wants to know, my rotev, what exactly is this gravy that we're speaking about here? Amarova Shumana. It's speaking about the fats, as Rashi notes over here, that float to the top of the liquid that's there. Amarle Abaye. So Abaye says to Rova, Huatzmo yitma tumat ochlim. It itself should be subject to tumat ochlim. It is something that you eat. The fat that you skim off the top of the soup, off the top of the dishes, that's a part and parcel of what you would eat. It would be classified as ochel itself. Why is it only mitztareif? Why is it only an addition, ancillary to the ochel that's there? It itself should be subject to tumat ochlim. Tosafot over here asks, why did the Gemara go to tumat ochlim? Why didn't the Gemara ask or say this with regards to Tumat Nivelot? The Gemara here says, the Rotev is this fat that floats at the top of the pot. And Vai says, what are you talking about? It's Tamei Tumat Ochlim, directly. Why doesn't he even say that it's Tamei Tumat Nivelot? So Tosafot gives two answers to that. One answer is that Eino Chanami, it could have asked that, but it didn't. Or Tosafot says that sometimes Tumat Ochlim has more Tumah than Tumat Nivelot. That's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, in certain instances, Tumat Ochlim will exceed Tumat Nevelot, that even in areas where there is no Tumat Nevelot, there is Tumat Ochlim. That answer is likely the more convincing answer. That is because earlier in the Gemara, we already said that Chelev, or fats, are excluded from the din of Nevelah. Maybe there you could argue that's Chelev qua Chelev. Over here it's the fat that came from heating up the item and that melted the fats. Maybe this is a different type of fat. But given that, it makes more sense to say that this is an area where Tumat Ochlim applies and Tumat Nevelot does not apply. Ella, Chelev de Karish, that's the girsa we have. You look in the Shita Mekubetzet, it is Chala de Karish. Chala would be vinegar, Chelev would be fats, and the way Rashi describes it over here, it is that which is leaching out of the meat. Lecha hayotza min basar. It's a liquid that comes out of the meat when it's being cooked, and then it is congealed. That's what we're speaking about over here. So Gemara says, Ma'iria Karish. Why does it have to congeal? Why not, when it's still a liquid, can it also be mitzaref to Tumat Ochlim? Gemara says, Kilo Karish Nami. Even when it's not congealed, even when it's still in a liquid form, Damarish Lakish, Tzir Shagabe Yerek. When you have a liquid, again, that leaches out of the vegetables, Mitzareif l'kekotevet b'yom ha-kippurim. It's added towards the minimum shiur to be chayav in Yom Kippur. In order to be chayav for eating on Yom Kippur, you have to consume a kotevet. A kotevet is a date, and there the Gemara says kotevet agasa, a fat date. That's the amount you need to consume in order to be chayav for eating on Yom HaKippurim. So there it says, with regards to the vegetables that you would eat, the tzir, the liquid that leaches out of them, is part and parcel of that shiur. So you see that even in a liquid form, that which leaches out of the item is classified as a food. Gemara says, wait a minute, hata mishum yituve datahu. There, the issue is not issue of eating. The issue is whether it puts you at ease, it settles your mind. Becholdu mitva date. Any amount that you consume, any amount that you take in, will put you at ease. Hacha mishum yitzterufehu. Over here, you're trying to add it towards a minimum shiur, ikarish mitzareif. If it congeals, it will be added to the minimum shiur, kilo karish lo mitzareif. If it doesn't congeal, it won't be added to the tumat ochlim. Rashi goes into great detail to describe what exactly is happening over here, and it's worthwhile to read the Rashi because it's fundamental to Yom HaKippurim, which is umishani tam hatam time of the Yom HaKippurim. When it comes to Yom Kippur, the restriction is actually not eating on Yom Kippur. Eating is not what drives the issue on Yom Kippur. Dinami lab uchlo came into biyat ve'date mechayev. Even if it's not food, if it puts you at ease, then it's still problematic. Daha, because there it says, kol asher lo tu'uneh. Anybody who does not afflict themselves on Yom Kippur is subject to a chiyuv karet. Or in essence, the requirement on Yom Kippur is inui nefesh. It is affliction, not a restriction against eating. Eating unwinds the affliction, and that's the problem. When you eat, you no longer feel mi'uneh. And so the restriction on Yom Kippur is kol asher lo tu'uneh. Anybody who doesn't afflict themselves will be chayav karet. And therefore, this individual who eats the vegetables with the liquid on it, the liquid does the same thing as the vegetable, which it puts you at ease. It takes away the affliction. Even though it's not negdar ke'achila, it still is classified as being something that will be metiv date, that will cause you to be at ease and take away the affliction of a hocha. In our case, ochel u'mashke ein mitzterefim. When you're dealing with food and liquids, they're not mitzterefim. Dola lo shavu shiur ragu. They have a different shiur. One is the shiur of a kazayit or kabeitza here with regards to tumat ochlim. And with regards to liquids, it would be a revi'it. So the shiurim are completely different, and there are different tracks or different categories. There's achila, and then there is shtiya. On Yom Kippur, there's only one category. Asher lo tu'uneh. Anybody who's not afflicted is chayav karet. Liquids and food substances will be added together in order to get there. The only little problem with that is, v'afagav dehotam nami t'nan, even though in Yom it also says, achal v'shata ein mitztarfim, if you eat and drink, it's not mitztaref. So then that blows this all out of the water because it says the exact same thing over there. Hani mile achal v'shata. That's only true if you eat and drink. The Chachamim had a mesora, or they saw empirically, that when a person drinks half a shiur and eats half a shiur, they do not have that yishuvadat. They don't have that ease that is brought to them, and they're still me'uneh. Aval, sir shel gavyerek, kimlu rabbanan de miyatve. When it comes to that liquid that's leached out of the yerek, that is part and parcel of the eating of the yerek, and that does provide yituvadate. So Rashi gives, first of all, a fundamental distinction, which is Yom Kippur is about affliction. Over here, we're speaking about eating and drinking at minimum shiurim. Even in Yom Kippur, where there is a distinction between achila and shtia, it really derives from the yishuvadat aspect of it, which is, if you eat and drink partial shiurim, you won't get yishuvadat. But if you eat vegetables that have liquids that leached out of them, that will provide the yishuvadat. And so that's, in the end, the bottom line, that Yom Kippur is about yishuv hadat. Then the Gemara continues to discuss the items mentioned in our Mishnah. Va'kippah. The Mishnah mentions kippah as one of those items that is added ancillary to be considered or classified as the towards the kibbutz of tumat uchlim. My kippah. Again, what is the kippah here? Amarabo firma. It is the solid pieces that are at the bottom of the pot. So as Rashi describes over here, dakshabasar. The thin pieces of meat should solel yisodak deira. That sink down to the bottom of the pot. These thin pieces of meat that break away from the main piece of meat that settle at the bottom of the pot. Rashi earlier, when he gave the definition of kippah, actually brought this as well as the continuation of the Gemara here as the definition as to what it is. Amalei Abayi hu atzmo yitma tumat ochlim. Once again, Abayi says, that in of itself is sufficient to be tamei tumat ochlim, because it's ochel. Why do you need to have it be an addition to a primary item? It itself could be tamei tumat ochlim. El amar papa tavlin. Speaking about spices. With regards to spices, there might be a distinction. This has ramifications in different areas of halacha, but certain spices are classified as ochel, and certain spices are classified as spices. It might have implications, for instance, for the requirement to take off trumot and masrot, which is that if the item is eaten as the spice itself, then you might be required to take off trumot and masrot, whereas certain items where their only purpose and their only function is to be a spice, then you may not have to take off trumot and masrot. And similarly over here, when the tavlin that we're speaking about over here, let's distinguish between onion, garlic, where people would actually eat the onion and the garlic in there, versus where you have spices that are particularly made just to spice the item, but they would never be eaten in their raw state. So you might have to draw that distinction here as well with regards to tavlin and say things like onion, garlic, where you actually eat them, they might be subject to tomato klim, versus things like thyme, saffron, where they're only used to spice the item. And there, it wouldn't be subject to tumat ochlim. Ella, in vain, it's extending or adding to a primary object that's there that has tumat ochlim or could be subject to tumat ochlim. Gemara says, Tanan Hatam. We have a Mishnah over there. You can see here in the Masorta Shas, he says, Enu Mishnah. There is no such Mishnah, and therefore it should read Tanyo over here. Hikfa et Adam. If you go and congeal or coagulate the dam, va'achalo, and then you eat it, o shimchet achilev, or you liquefied the fats, and then begamo, and then you drank it, chayav. In that case, you are chayav. Now, bishlamo hikfet adam, if he congealed, coagulated the blood, va'achalo, and ate it, came into akve, akshuve, akshuve. Since you made it into a solid, you actually elevated its status and gave it chashivut. Because the fact that you made it from a liquid into a solid and then you eat the solid indicates that you're trying to upgrade this item, making it to something more significant. So there I understand why you would be chayav. The Bali and Tosafot just note over here, in order to congeal or coagulate the dam, you need to heat it. And that heating has to be done in exposure to the sun, rather than heat from a fire, because Tosafot Shitato earlier says that dam shenit bashel, blood that is cooked, is not subject to malkot mido oraita. Once dam is cooked, it no longer has a classification as dam mido oraita. Rashi earlier seemed to indicate it was still a problem do oraita, even though Gemaras in other places seem to indicate otherwise, and that's Tosafot Shitato, and here he says the same thing, that based on that Gemara in Menachot, that it has to be that the heat source is the sun and not a fire, because cooking of the blood would then take away the din of dam from this item. Ela himchet achelev, when you liquefy the chelev, gamo, and then you drink it, achila k'tiv bei. It says achila over there by the chelev. And if it's required to be eaten, then you're not eating over here, you are drinking, not eating. And you said before that drinking and eating are two separate issues. If that's the case, then why is the drinking of the chelev sufficient to make you chayav? Now again, that could be either because whatever you have here is not chelev, because you liquefied it, or what's required of you is to eat. And you aren't eating over here, you are drinking. V'halav achilahi, and that's not achila. So Amar Lishlokish, Amar Kra, the Kishlokish says that the Pasuk says nefesh. It's a very interesting usage of the word nefesh in the Pasuk, because if you look in Vayikra Zion, Pasuk Chav Hei, where the source of this is from, it says, V'chelev nevela, v'chelev trefa yaseh l'chom l'cha, v'chol lo tochlu, ki kol ochel chelev min ha-beima, asher yakrivi menu yishel Hashem, v'nichrita nefesh ha-ochelet me'ameha. So the nefesh that's referred to over there is the person, v'nichrita ha-nefesh ha-ochelet, who eats it me'ameha. And what Abaye, Rish Lakish is saying is that nefesh comes to say, nefesh, the rabot et ashoteh. That comes to include someone who drinks it. So, v'nifratai nefesh ha-ochelet, I don't know if he's reading it now, that nefesh and ochelet are now both what you're doing, and they become verbs, or nefesh just means that anything that is sustaining in nature, therefore it is chayav for it. But it's an interesting usage of the nefesh, and the Gemara is going to do this again in a minute with another pasuk. But nevertheless, Rish Lakish says that from the word nefesh, the rabot et ashoteh, to tell you that even if you drink it, that you're still chayav for drinking the chelev, not just ha'ochalet, not just the one who eats it. Tanya nami ochi gabi chametz ki hagavno. You have a similar braita by chametz. Imcheu, if you take chametz and liquefy it, vigamo, and you drink it, im chametzu anush karet. If it is chametz, you're going to be chayav karet for eating chametz on Pesach. Im matzahi, if it is matzah and you liquefied it and then you eat it, ein adam yotzei b'yidei chavuto b'Pesach. You can't use that. You're not yotzei the din of matzah on Pesach. Bishlama im matzahi ein adam yotzei b'yidei chavuto b'Pesach. I understand what the failure is. If it was matzah and you melted it down, or you liquefied it, and now you're eating it, that you're not yotzei the din of matzah on Pesach, because the pasuk says, lechem oni amai rachmana, v'hai lechem lav lechem oni. And whatever you have here is not called lechem oni anymore. Tosafot just adds the factor that you have to eat matzah. There's a requirement of achilat matzah, and you fail on that side as well. So the item is not defined as lechem oni, and what you're doing is not called achilat. So you fail on both sides on the requirement to eat matzah. Similar to what happened with the chelev before, had it not been for the ribui of the pasuk, the failure to eat the chalev would have been a failure either in the eating, because you're not eating it, or that it's not called chalev because it's liquid. Same thing as lechemoni over here. Ela im chametzu anush karet. When it comes to chametz, why are you chayav karet? Achilot tivbe. Regards to chametz, there is an iser of eating chametz. Now the truth is that there's also an iser hana'ah by chametz. There's not just an iser achila, but despite that, Balei Tosfot will point out, avagav du asur banana, hanat chametz leipa karet elalav. Getting hana'ah from chametz is not a chiyuv karet. Eating chametz is a chiyuv karet. Getting hana'ah from chametz is an iser lav. So even if you want to say that the eating of the chametz is a problem of hana'ah, you still wouldn't be subject to karet. And the Braita is telling us that you're chayav karet for eating chametz that was liquefied. Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, nefesh, there are both et ha-shoteh. So similar type of limud from Shmot Yudbet, Pasuk Tetvav, where Amar Reish Lakish brings the same type of idea down. It says, Shivat Jami Matzot Tuchelu, Ach V'yom Rishon Tashbitu Sor Mivatechem, Ki Kol Ochel Chametz, V'nechrata ha-nefesh ha-im Yisrael M'yom Rishon Ha-yom Ha-shvi'i. That same nefesh that is in the karet aspect of it, he's using that to tell you that even shtiyah is included. However that works, that nefesh has a broader context than achila. Now, to your question, the Balei Tosafot asks your question, which is, I don't understand why I need the ribui over here, both by chalev and by chametz. I'm going to see in a second by nevela. Why do I need the ribui over here? Don't we have a basic principle? Im tomar. Lamalikra, what do I need a pasuk? Hashtia, havia bichlal achila. Shtia is subsumed under achila. Why do I need any of this? That's based on the pasuk in Dvarim that says, v'achalt lifnei Hashem lokecha, masar degancha, tirosh shecha. Tirosh, which is wine, is classified under the achila. So you see that drinking is a subset of achila. It says, v'yesh lamar, dahatam bemile de shtia. That's only true with items that are normally drinks, yain and shemen. According to the Gemara, the only liquids or fruit juices that you drink are wine and oil. Other than that, all fruit juices are considered to be zeya be'alma or any other liquid that is leaching. And over here we're dealing with food substances that have been liquefied and now are in a liquid form. So Tosafot makes a distinction between things that are normally drunk, there you would be subject to the din of shtia bichlal achila, and you wouldn't need a specific pasuk to include them. These items are solid items that you're liquefying. Over here you need a special riboy to tell you that drinking is the equivalent of eating in this case. It's not the normal way to eat it. It's not the normal way to consume it. So therefore you need a riboy to include the shtia bichlal achila. The Ritz Geut tries to bring a different distinction which not everyone agrees with, which is the din of shtia bichlal achila might be different than the din of himcheu, and then you drink it. The din by shtia bichlal achila is that there the din would be that you would be subject to the revi'it. And if you drank a revi'it of it, then you'd be chayav. The chiyuv by shtia bichlal achila is that the shtia of a revi'it is classified like achila. On the other hand, here in our Gemara, we're saying that the liquefied form has a din of achila, and therefore the shiur would be a kizayit and not a revi'it. And that's the chiddush that's brought here. So even though shtia is bichlal achila, the chiddush here is that you would measure it by a kizayit and not by a revi'it. Although there are those that argue fundamentally with that and say even by shtia bichlal achila, the din would be a kizayit, and therefore they both be the same, and that's not a distinction of relevance over here. The Ritz Geut tries to make a distinction that says that there's an additional item added by the limud over here, but the Balei Tosafot simply distinguish between items that are normally drunk and items that are being liquefied from their solid form, where that would not have been shtia bichlal achila. V'tanya nami gabeg nevela to'ov tohor ki hagavno. And now we have a third braita by regards to nevelat of tohor. Nevelat of tohor, you know, once you eat it and swallow it, that's when it conveys its tumah. Just touching it or even chewing on it doesn't do anything until you swallow it, till it's bebeta bliyah, it doesn't provide any tumah. Imcheo ba'or, if you go ahead and liquefy it. Tameh, you are tameh. Bichama, tahor. If you do it in the sun, then it is tahor. So in order to liquefy the nevelat of tahor, you have to heat it up. So if you heat it up by fire, then you're going to become tamei for eating this nevelat of tor. If you do it in the sun, you are tor. Once again, is it the in of nevelat of a restriction against achila? Amish lokish, amar kra. Once again, the pasuk says nefesh, and similar to the other cases in Vayikra Yudzayin pasuk tevav says kol nefesh asher tochal nevela. Utreifa beezrach uvager, v'kibes v'gadav, v'erchatz v'mayim, v'tamei ad'arev, v'taher. So again, there it says, v'chol nefesh asher tochal. The nefesh that you're speaking about is the individual, and again, Reish Lakish darshins from that nefesh, that means, darabot et ashoteh. Even someone who drinks it will be subject to this din. Iachi, if that's true, v'kamanami, then why isn't it also true by the kama? Mar says it's a big difference. Bechama is ruchei misrach. You leave it out in the sun to, quote unquote, melt it, liquefy it, it rots. It doesn't get liquefied. As opposed to when you heat it on the fire, where you do it in a much more expedited manner, over there it liquefies it and doesn't cause it to rot. It's rifei. We need all three of these. We have a source for this by chametz, we have a source for this by nevela, and we have a source for this by chelet. And we need each one of them. Dikatov Rachmana Chelev, had you just written Chelev, Chametz lo atemine, you couldn't learn Chametz from Chelev, Shken lo haita lo shata kosher. Chelev was always asur, Chametz only became asur. It was mutar just 5 minutes ago, now it became asur. So maybe Chametz is a different din, and it wouldn't have the din of Chelev that the liquefied Chelev is Chayav, but maybe Chametz is not Chayav. Nevela lo atemine, Nevela can't be learned from that, shekein anush karet, because chelev has a din of karet if you eat it. Nevela, here is a din of tumah. V'ikatav rachmano chametz. Had the Torah only written chametz, chelev lo atamine, you can't learn chelev from it, shekein lo hutar michlalo. Because chametz, once it's asur, there's no dispensation to eat chametz whatsoever. Chelev, on the other hand, is allowed to be eaten in certain circumstances. The Gemara will come back and discuss what those circumstances are, but chelev is not always asur. Nevela lo achemine shekein anush karet. And you can't learn nevela from chametz, because chametz is subject to a din of karet if you eat it. Nevela is just a restriction against tuma, and therefore you can't learn from chametz to nevela. Ikad of rachmana nevela, if the Torah had just written nevela, Hanach lo achemino, the others can't be learnt from it. Shekein mitama, it has a chumra, which is, it's involved in the world of tuma, not just in the problem of achila. And chametz and chelev are a problem of achila, they're not a problem of tuma. Chadami chada lo achio, you can't just write one of these and learn the others from it. Let's try it this way. Teite chadami tarte, write two of them, and then learn the third one from the two that are written. Hey, Teite. Which one do you want to learn out? Lo lichtov rachmanim nevela. Don't write it by nevela. V'teite mehanach. And you learn it out of chametz and chelev. Malahanach shkenanush karet. Chametz and chelev have a chumra, which is they're both chayav karet, which is not true by nevela. So I wouldn't be able to learn nevela from chametz and chelev. Lo lichtov rachmanim v'chametz. So leave out chametz, but teite mihanach, and learn from the others. Malahanach, shkein lo haita lehen, shata kosher. The other items don't have a shata kosher. Both chelev and nevela were always asurim. Chametz only became asur once you entered into the realm of Pesach. Now the Baal Tosafot would say that's not true, and nevela was mutar before it died. Until it died, it didn't become a nevela. So Tosafot says, either you have to say over here, that once it died, it was always a nevela, meaning that once it went into the world of nevela, it was never not a nevela. That's one way to deal with it. Or the other way to deal with it is, even when it was still alive, it was asur. An animal that's alive is asur because of Eiver Min Achai. Or Tosafot will bring something that in Masechet Shavuot he's more circumspect about, which is that it was an isur of Eina Zvucha, that there's a restriction against a live animal because it wasn't shechted. The requirement to shecht the animal then makes it asur to eat it without shechting the animal. So even when it was alive, there was either a problem with Eiver Min Achai or in a zvucha, and then when it dies, it became a nevela, so it never had a shata kosher. There was never a time where this animal was permissible to be eaten. And the Baal Tosafot say before with regards to Chelev, and they probably say the same thing over here, even though in utero there was a possibility of the animal being okay to be eaten if the mother was shefted, nevertheless, since the time it was born, it never had a shata kosher, and that's enough to make it that it's not classified as having a shata kosher. Lo lichtov rachmana b'chelev, so leave out chelev, b'teite mihanach, and learn it out from chametz and nevela. Mal hanach, shekein lo hutar michlalan. Chametz and nevela were always asurim. Tamar b'chelev, shutar michlalo. Chelev has a certain times where it is mutar. It's not always asur. Umay nihu. So what exactly is that? Ilema chelev behema. If you say a chelev behema, the chelev of behema is always asura. It either is asur to you if it's chulin. Ilema chelev behema legvoa. If you want to say that it's the chelev of a behema that goes on the mizbeach when it's hektesh, that's what hutar michlalo is. Nevela nami ishtare. Nevela is also permitted in the world of hektesh. But melika ta'of legvoa. When you do melika ta'of for an ola ta'of, it goes on the mizbeach. So we say the same dispensation you have with regards to chelev, to say that it's hutar michlalo, to put on the mizbeach, you also have that by nevela. Vela chelev chaya lehedjot. For a lay person, you're allowed to eat the chelev of a chaya. It's only the chelev of a behema that is problematic. The chelev of a chaya is permissible. Nevela nami ishtare. By nevela you also have it permitted to hedjot. Melika de chata ta'of lakohanim. When it comes to melika ta'of, ola ta'of goes on the mizbeach, but a chatat of is eaten by the Kohanim. And despite the fact that it is classified as a nevela because you did melika and not shechita, nevertheless, the Kohanim are permitted to eat it. So just like by chaya, there's a permission for the hedjot to eat the fats of a chaya, you also have the Kohanim permitted to eat the chatat of that was a nevela. The olam chelev chaya lehedjot, that is the distinction, the kakashala Kohanim. What about the fact that by nevela you also have it by the Kohanim? Kohanim is shulchan gavoa kazachu. That's not an eating of hedjot. That's an eating from the shulchan gavoa. It's the table of God that they're getting it from. So there's a distinction. By chelev, there are certain chelevs that are allowed to be eaten by a lay person. They're allowed to be eaten outside the context of the mikdash. You would have thought that that's true by chatat o for Kohanim. Even though it's in the context of the mikdash, they're acting or functioning as lay people, they're allowed to eat it then. The answer is no. When the Kohanim are eating, they're eating in the context or in the capacity as taking from God or eating from the Shulchan Gavoa. It's not much different than the Mizbeach. There is a Shulchan, which is called the Mizbeach, and there's a Shulchan, which is what the Kohanim eat from, and they're both the Gavoa. And so that's what made unique about Chelev. Va Ditanyo, that which we have in a Braita. Seems like the Tosafot had a different girsa, which was Hadatnan, which he says is incorrect, because it's Einu Mishnah, and it should say Tanya. V'hadatanya hatmeim, with regards to the Shratzim, it says that they are tmeim. Le'esor tziran, virotvan, v'kipashalen. The tmeim comes to say that not only is the sheretz asur, but all of these derivative products are problematic. The tzir, the liquid that leaches out, the rotev, the gravy and the kippah, all of these which were mentioned over here. Ulamali, why do I need this? Ligmar mehane, why do I need a separate din by shvatzim to tell me their liquid form is also problematic? Why don't I just learn it out from the three that I have here, which are chelev, chametz, and nevela? If I put those together, I should be able to learn out sheretz. Sarichi, you can't do that. Ilo katav rachmana, had the Torah not written it, havamina, dayo, levo mina din, leot kenidon. Then you would be limited in scope to the common denominator between chelev, nevela, and chametz, which is mahatam adika kezayit. The minimum shiur by all of those for isur is a kezayit. Nevela, chelev, and chametz all have a shiur of kezayit. Avacha nami adika kezayit. By shratzim, you would think then that you have to have that minimum requirement of a kezayit. But that you can't do because by shratzim, we know that the Isur is Bika Adasho, that the Isur of Shratzim is a lentil seed's worth. As Rashi says over here, Isur Achilatam Bika Adasho Ketumatam. The Gemara darshins that with regards to the Achila of Shratzim, they have the same din as their Tuma. Just like their Tuma is Bika Adasho, so too their Achila is Ke Adasho, which is significantly below the threshold of a Kezayit. So had I learned it from the other three items, I would have thought you're subject to the minimum kazayit. Now that I learned it directly from shvatzim, just like the sheretz is b'chadasha, so too, anything that the liquids or the liquid form of that sheretz is also subject to chadasha and not subject to a kazayit. Gemara says, do it the other way around. B'lichtov rachmana b'shvatzim. Let the Torah write it by shvatzim. V'leitu hanach. And then you'll learn the other three from it. Meaning chametz, chelev, and nevela, you'll be able to learn out of shvatzim. You look here in the Masoret HaShas, he quotes from the Rashba, who says, V'lav kulu gamar. Even though it says, V'leitu hanach, which means all of these should be learned out of it, the Rashba says over here, you can't do that. Da chametz v'chelev i'efshar. You can't learn chametz and chelev from shvatzim, because both chametz and chelev are subject to a chiyuv karet, first of all, and they have a chumrot that are problematic. Either chametz is, it had a shata kosher, chelev is hutar michlalo, and both of them are subject to a din of karet. So you can't learn it out of shvatzim. So the only thing they're asking about is nevela. So that's really the question here. Why not learn nevela from shvatzim? V'ligmeru minayu, mishum de'ika lemifrach mala shvatzim, shukein tumatan b'mashu. The answer would be that shvatzim have a chumrah, and that is that their tumah is b'mashu, which is not true by tumat nevela. Tumat nevela is a minimum of a kezayit in order to have the tumat nevela. And over here, it's a mashu. Now, the truth is, mashu is, as Tosfot notes on the previous amud, it doesn't really mean a mashu, because we just said before that there's a minimum shiur of a kadasha. But in relationship to a kezayit, a kadasha is like a mashu. It's just much greater chumrah than kezayit. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Tosfot then adds in that even more. U'b'me'atzad chad mikulu lo'ati. He says that if you did a me'atzad for one of them, from all of them, you wouldn't be able to do this. The chametz mikulu lo'ati. You can't learn chametz out of all the others. Means shvatzim, nevela, and chelev. Shelo hayalem shata kosher. Chametz has a unique feature that it was once mutar. Chelev namliyati mikulu. You can't learn chelev from all the other three because shekein hutar michlalan. It is mutar in certain instances, like we saw before, the chelev chaya. Akasha, the teite nevela mikulu. Why can't you learn nevela out of all of them? I mean, if you took sheretz, chametz, and chelev, and you put them all together, you should be able to learn out nevela. Shema lo hayiti omer le'inyan isur achila, aval le'inyan tumat nevela ov tor, lo. He says, maybe the common denominator between chametz, chelev, and shvatzim is the problem that there's an isur achila. And maybe that's what would be passed on to do nevela. But nevela, in terms of its tumah, by ov tahor, where the eating brings upon the person tumah, maybe there you wouldn't be able to learn it from it, even though the Torah expresses its achila, because it says lo yuchal otam haba, which was the pasuk that we just read, that you shouldn't eat it in order to become tamei from it. So Tosafot speculates maybe that's what prevented the Gemara taking all three of them and then learning from them to one. And again, we said each one of them has a problem except Nevela. And even Nevela, Tosfot is now saying, maybe you can only learn from Achila, not to Tuma, even though the Tuma by Nevela Tov Tor is written in a Lashon Achila. Now, Vahadatanyo, that brighter that we have that says, Hatevel, Vachadash, Vahekdesh, Vashvit, Vakilaim, Kulan Mashkina Yotzimeh, Kimotan. Any liquids that emanate from them have the same din as the item itself, Minolan. Where do we know that that's true? Rashi just explains what the cases are over here. By Chodosh, if you take barley before the Omer is brought and you make it into beer, then that would be a liquefied form of Chodosh. And then Shvi'it is if you take the liquids that emanate from the items that are subject to Kedushat Shvi'it, that they would still then have the din of Kedushat Shvi'it. And obviously Kilayim and Hekdesh, you can take items that are solids and then liquefy them, whatever was hektesh or whatever was kilayim. Kirchiteima ligmor mehanach. What do you want to say? Learn from these? Now you have four items where we know that if it was liquefied, you're still chayav. We have it by chelev, chametz, nevela, tov tohor, and by shvatzim. You have four places. Let's take them all together and say that the common denominator between them is anytime there's a restriction of achila, if you liquefy the item, you're also chayav. Mal hanach. All of these are isurim that emanate or inherent to the item. When it comes to chametz, when it comes to nevela, when it comes to chelev, and when it comes to shvatzim, these are all inherent problems in the item. That's not true, according to Rashi, for Hekdesh. Tinach Hechid Asur Isur Abba Me'elav. That would work well for all the items here that are Isur Abba Me'elav, which is, as Rashi says over here, Tinach Me'elav Me'nai Utevel, which is an Isur that's inherent, Chodosh, which is also an inherent Isur, Shvi'it is also an inherent Isur, Kilei Akerim, according to Rashi, is an inherent Isur, Well, Hekdesh Lo Ati Me'nayu. Hekdesh is something that you impose on the item. You make it into Hekdesh. It's not something that's inherently Hekdesh. So that's what Rashi says, what the Gemara is asking here. Hecha delav isur b'melav minolan. How do we know that when it's not an isur that comes inherently, where do we know it from? Rashi claims that the question is about Hekdesh. Look in the Tosafot, he says, im tomar behei mibaylet. Which one of them do they think over here that is not an isur b'melav? It says, Chodosh and Shvit are Isur Bameilav. Tevel, he says, you can learn Chilu from Truma. And Truma we learn from Bikurim, as we're going to see in a second. He says, V'ik Kilayim, Hailok Tibuhu Achila. Achilayim, there's no restriction. It's not a restriction of Achila. It's a Pentikdash, which makes it into a, not only an Isur Achila, but an Isur Hana'ah. Hekdesh, Nami Lok Tibbe Achila. And the restriction against misappropriating Hekdesh, of sacrilege by Hekdesh also doesn't have Achila written by it. Both, Jigal Melev Chet Chet Mitruma and Mi'ilah, we're going to see many times when we get to Masechet Mi'ilah, there's this Gzeirah Shavah of Chet Chet from Truma to Mi'ilah. And again, Truma, we know that liquid items are Chayav. V'tzarech Lamar, Da Achilaim Boi. The Gemara here is asking about Kilaim. Da'af Agav Delok Tibi Ho Achila, even though by Kilaim the word Achila never appears, Svarihi, the lo asur Torah el shei isur be'ein. The Torah only says it's asur when the isur exists. He claims that the isur of kilayim is what we're speaking about here, and it's not an inherent isur, because it's only when you plant it that it becomes asur. It's only when you combine the items together. Therefore, it's not an inherent isur, it's an isur of planting them and growing them together. But then he brings from the Rabbeinu Shmuel that he says that there's a difference between kilayim and all the other items. Which is, by chelev, for instance, when you liquefy it, the chelev is still intact. It's still chelev, it's just liquefied. Chametz is chametz, just liquefied. That's not true with ayotze min achilayim. Because even though there's no achila written in it, it is still as if there is a restriction. And what you're looking at here is not the gufa pri anymore. You're not looking at the item itself by achilayim. Shein zeh gufa pri. That's not the pri itself. And he says, Mashapir Shakunchis, what Rashi says, to Kulu Kari Isur Bameilav, the Barme Hekdesh, if Shalamarkein Ela Kilaim Kamarkidi Prashti. He rejects Rashi's view here that it's dealing with Hekdesh. And then Tosfos goes on to explain why Shvi'it is okay to learn from here, even though Shvi'it also has an assay, not just the lav. He says that the problem by Shvatzim is not a problem of a lav, but rather an issue of Tuma. Maybe that's enough to allow you to learn Shvi'it. So, according to Rashi, the question is, where do we know Hekdesh from? According to Tosafot, the question is, where do we know Kilayim from? So now the Gemara says, Gamrina mi Bikurim. We learn it from Bikurim. So Gemara says, U Bikurim gufa minalon. You're telling me we learn it from Bikurim. Where do we know Bikurim from? The Tani Rabbi Yossi, they, by the Bikurim, it says Pri. Pri atami vi. Vi atami vi mashke. You're allowed to bring a pi, or the fruit. You're not allowed to bring the liquid. If he brings grapes and he presses them, minayin, how do I know then that that's also classified as bikurim? Tamalomar tavi, that you bring them no matter what. So in Pashat Kitavo, you have that tension in the pasuk that says, lakachta merishit kol pri ha'adama. This makes it sound like it's the pri. Asher tavi maritzacha, anything you bring from the land. So the tavi is much broader than the pri. So the way he reconciles that and says is that if you bring a pri, that's bikurim. If you bring a liquid, meaning that you bring grapes that were pressed, how do I know that that works? Because of tavi. Now, what exactly the scenario is? So Tosfot says that the scenario is a case where you made the grapes into bikurim, and after making them or giving them kedushat bikurim, you actually pressed them and made them into wine. So that, how do I know that that wine is still classified as Bikurim? And the Mishnah in Bikurim, which says that they refuse to accept Yayin as Bikurim, that's in a case where you didn't make them into Bikurim originally, you made them to wine first, and then were Makdish them Kedushat, then you gave them Kedushat Bikurim, that's where they didn't accept them in the Mikdash. But had he done it like we said over here, where he made him into Bikurim, first the fruits, and then liquefied them, that would have been fine, and that would be classified as Bikurim. How do I know that that works as Bikurim? That's from the word Tavi. Tosfot over here raises the same issue again. Remember, on the first half of today's daf, I told you that when it comes to shtiyah b'chal achila, that's only true for items that you normally drink. That's grapes and olives. That's exactly our case over here. So why isn't it shtiyah b'chal achila over here? Linyan habat bikurim, tnokti b'achila. By bikurim, it never says that you have to eat the bikurim. It says the havi shtiyah b'chal achila. The only thing that's mentioned by bikurim is v'meshik kol pri ha'adama. So by bikurim en okanami, had it said achila, then shtiyah would have been subsumed for grapes and for olives. The problem is that the word achila never appears by bikurim. The word pri appears. And pri means the fruit, not the product of the fruit. How do I know the product of the fruit? That's why I need a riboy for the word tavi. Now, bikurim only apply to the shivat aminim. So when you're speaking about juices or liquids over here, in all likelihood, you're speaking about olive oil and grape juice. Although technically we could have dvash tamarim, which we'll see in a second. So ikal mifrach. So you can undermine this. Ma the bikurim shkein tunim kriya v'anacha. Bikurim have a chumrah that's associated with them, which is when you bring them up to Yerushalayim, you have to do say the parshiya of Arami Oved Avi, and then you have to place them down in the azara. So there's extra pomp and circumstance that surrounds the bikurim. Maybe because of that, the liquids are classified as being like the solids over there, but by hektesh for Rashi or by kilayim for the Balei Tosafot, that wouldn't be true. Elagomar mi truma. You should learn it out of truma. Truma gufa min olam. How do you know by truma that a liquid is considered to be something that is a din to itkish the bikurim? Because there's a hektesh between truma and bikurim. Damar mar utrumat yadukha. When it says that you bring up the truma yadcha, that's a reference elu bikurim. So you see that the bikurim are called truma. So just like by the bikurim, the solid that's made into a liquid is called bikurim. So too by truma, the solid that's made into a liquid is called truma. Ma the truma shekein chayvin aleha mita v'chomesh. Wait, truma has a chumra that's associated with it. If you eat it b'mezid, when you're not supposed to eat truma, you're chayav mita b'dei shemayim. And if you eat a bishogeg, you have to pay Karen v'chomesh to repay the kohanim. Ela gamar mitarvayu. You should learn out of both of them. Bitruma ubikurim. The combination of truma and bikurim will teach you for Tosafot, Kilayim, Farashi, Ekdesh. Malu truma bikurim, shkein chayvelem mita v'chomesh. A little bit strange that the questioner didn't realize this right away, but automatically, if truma and bikurim are the same, meaning bikurim is a subset of truma, then if truma is chayav mita b'dei shemayim b'mezid and is keren b'chomesh b'shogeg, then bikurim are subject to the same din. And that means that they both have that same chumra and you can't learn them. Ela acha mitruma v'chad mihanach. O bikurim v'chad mihanach. Take truma and one of the other ones that we had before. We had four items before where liquids were considered like the solids. We had chelev, chametz, nivela, and sheretz. So it's saying, take one of those in combination with truma, or take one of those in combination with bikurim, and then you can learn out for Rashi Hekdesh, for the Balei Tosafot, Kilayim. Seems that the questioner mixed up what Gamar Mitarvayu meant, which is that Gamar Mitarvayu, he thought meant from truma and bikurim, but it really meant Gamar Mitarvayu means one of these, and then one of the ones from before. And that mistake is what leads him into this problem by saying, doesn't truma and bikurim have that common denominator? That's problematic. So he misunderstood the answer of Gamar Mitarvayu, and that's what led to the question over here. Now, which one is this? So Rashi says, Mitruma v'chad mihanach, chametz o nevela. Your only options are to put it together with chametz o nevela. T'chi parach, when you ask, mala truma, shkein mita, because truma has a mita b'dei shemayim, nevela tochiach. Nevela is just an issue of tum'ah. It's not an issue of a mita b'dei shemayim. And if you say nevela is an isur ba me'lav, truma tochiach, because truma is an imposed isur, it's not an isur that is inherent to the item. So the tzad shaveh shebem, that even though they were solids and then liquids, the liquids are chayavin. That's how Rashi learns it. Now Rashi ignores the chametz aspect of this, and that's what Tosafot says. He doesn't understand what Rashi says over here. He says, elam mitruma v'chad me'anach, perish min nevela ubikurim, o truma, O mishratzim ubikurim o truma. The way you could do it here is either with nevela and bikurim or truma, meaning nevela with bikurim or nevela with truma, which Rashi said over here. He put nevela together, but Tosfot says avalo kamo shaper shakunches. Now, like what Rashi says, chametz and bikurim, because chametz and bikurim are problematic. E or truma with chametz is also problematic. Both of them are subject to a quote-unquote death penalty. One is chayav karet, and one is chayav mitah bidei shamayim. That's not true by these other items. And so if it's netilat neshama, that's a chumrah. And chaylev has the same problem, because chaylev is karet, and truma bikurim is chayav mitah bidei shamayim. So those are death penalty types of restrictions, and that's a chumrah you couldn't learn from. So Tosfot says you have to take your pick. Either you learn it out of nevela together with bikurim, nevela with truma, or shratzim with bikurim and shratzim with truma. Rashi offers the possibility that chametz and truma could learn this, or chametz and bikurim could learn this. He never explains that example, and Tosfot says you can't use that example because that involves a death penalty. Just like truma and bikurim have a chiyuv mita bidei shemayim, this has a karet, and therefore you can't learn other items from it. Now Gemara says, V'hatznan. Don't we have a Mishnah that says, Divash Tmarim, the honey of the dates, which is the silan that comes from the dates, the yein tapuchim, and the apple cider, the apple wine, v'chometz sidvaniot, and vinegar that comes from grapes that never ripened, v'shar minei peirot shel truma, and all other fruits of truma that have liquids that come out of them, or they bake them into a liquid form. What's the din? Rabbi Lezer mechayev keren v'chomesh. If you eat them as truma b'shogeg, you have to pay keren v'chomesh. Rabbi Yeshua poter. And Rabbi Yeshua says you are patur. So now here you have additional items that are now being included where their liquid form is classified like their solid form, at least according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the question is, how does he get that, or where does that derive from? Because truma is learned from bikurim. Bikurim are only the shivat aminim. So you can explain away, maybe tmarim, maybe chometz sidvaniyot, you could explain away, but yein tapuchim and all minei peirot, how do you explain that if your derivation is from bikurim? So the answer to that is, by my plige, what are they arguing about? They argue about, the way Rashi formulates it over here is, throughout Shas, they argue about the way to make limudim. Whenever it comes to a gezerah shavah, or binyan av, in the Torah, whenever we learn something like that, do you learn everything from the source? Whatever the source is, it teaches you the Ikar Din plus the context. Or do we say that the Gzer Shavah Binyam teaches you the Ikar Din, but the context is where you're learning to. It's the destination where you're coming to, which the Gemara is going to explain now. The Rabbi Eliezer, Savar Don Mina Omina. The legend says you learn from it, and you take everything from it. Ma Bikuri Mashkima Yotzimam Kimultan. Just like by bikurim, the liquids that come out of them are like the solid item. Av truma, nami mashkima yotzimem kemotan. So too, the liquids by truma are similar to the solids. Umina, and you learn from bikurim. Ma bikurim, afilu sharminim. Just like by bikurim, you have other things besides grapes and olives, meaning other things besides wine and oil. Av truma, nami. So too by truma, afilu sharminim. Even things besides wine and oil are going to be classified as being truma. Rabbi Yeshua Savar Domina, Ma Bikurim Mashkina Yotzimem Kemotan. You learn from the Ikur Din from Bikurim, which is that liquids that emanate from solids are like the solid. Av truma Mashkima Yotzimem Kemotan. So too by truma, we'll have the same din. Ba'uki Ba'atra. The context you're not going to take from Bikurim, which is the source, but the context is going to be the destination, which is truma. Mamashkim de kodoshim betruma. The only liquids that are kodesh by truma are tirosh v'itzar. The gan tirosh v'itzar is what's mentioned in the pasuk. And tirosh v'itzar are wine and olive oil. So those are the only things that are mentioned by truma. Those in midachrina, lo, nothing else will be like that. Av mashkina yotzime and kemotan, so too the liquids that emanate from them, tirosh v'itzar in midachrina, lo. So just like truma, the only thing that is a liquid that is subject to the din of truma is tirosh v'itzar and nothing else. So too, when it comes to mashkim that come out of a solid, the only thing that's going to have a din, that the liquid is like the solid, is by Tirosh, and Yitzar means by grapes and olives. So that's the difference in the opinion here. Rabbi Lazar is Michayev in all of these because he says everything's learned out of Bikurim. And Bikurim has a wider net than just simply wine and oil because it includes Tmarim, it includes other solid items, including grains over there, where you can get liquids from the grains. You get hops, you get beer. You can have things that come from those items. And since that's the source, it tells you by Truma. Any of these items by Truma are also going to be in their liquid form, same thing as Truma. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says, yes, Bikurim is the source for the fact that the din exists, that liquids can be like the solids. But the context for that, or where you learn that, is in the din of Truma. And by Truma, there are only two liquids that have relevance by Truma, and that's wine and oil. And since Truma is only relevant by those two liquids, those are also the only two liquids that are going to have the same status as the solid Truma. So that's the machlok between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rashi makes an important point over here, which is that when it comes to Truma, there are only three things that are chayavim midoraita in Truma. That's Dagan, Tirosh, and Yitzar. Dagan is grains. Wine, grapes and olives are wine and olive oil. Those are the only things that are chayav midoraita. Peirot are only chayavim midorabanan in Truma. So Rashi says this whole limud over here doesn't make any sense. You're taking a dindoraita, and now you're speaking about a dindorabonon. So Rashi basically reformulates the whole discussion here and says, because at a level doraita, this is what you would have done, therefore at the level derabonon, that's what they do. So at a doraita level, had there been other items that would have been subject to truma, then the liquids would be like the solids, and therefore by derabonon, they also say the same thing by peirot ha'ilan. But not that the peirot ha'ilan are a din doraita, but it says, derabonon bituhu kein doraita tikein, that they made whatever is derabonon, they did it or patterned it after what would have been the din doraita. So even though the Gemara speaks as if this is all doraita, domina, umina, or domina vukibiatra, as Rashi points out, when you're dealing with apples and you're dealing with other fruits that are not olives and grapes, all of that's only truma midrabanan. Now there are Rishonim that believe that fruits, peirot ha'ilan, are chayav in truma midoraita, and this Gemara would be somewhat supportive of that view that other fruits also have a dindoraita of truma, not just limited to dagan, tirosh, and itzar. Tosfot disagrees with Rashi and says that, okay, maybe Rashi's right, but there is a possibility of this even being a dindoraita, and that's dagan. Dagan can be liquefied, and again, we said it can be made into beer. So there is a chance that even on a doraita level, the machloket Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua could be at the grain level, which is a din doraita of truma. And if you liquefy the grain, what's the din according to that in a doraita level? And so that's what it says. The question doesn't have to just be at a rabbinic level. It could even be at a doraita level. We're speaking about liquefying of grains. So then Tosfot asks the question, which I noted before. You're learning from Bikurim in the end. According to Rabbi Eliezer, you should still be limited to the Shivat Aminim. How do you know things beyond the Shivat Aminim are also classified, like Yain Tapuchim? Where do you know that from? So last Tosfot says, V'yesh Lamar, came into Avi Afilu B'milei D'Rabbonon, Havya Bikulu. That once you're already moving into a Din D'Rabbonon, then they opened it up to more than just Bikurim. Ein Ochanami, if you were speaking at Doraita level, maybe you would limit it to the Shivat Aminim. But here we're dealing with Truma D'Rabbonon, then once they learned from Bikurim to Truma, they expanded it to include all fruits, and therefore it has application beyond just the Shivat Aminim. So now the Gemara says, Va'atznan, don't we have a Mishnah? Ein mivin bikurim mashke. Ela yotzei min hazeitim mina anavim. By bikurim, you're only allowed to bring liquids, which are wine and oil. You're not allowed to bring any other liquids. You just said before, bikurim are all Shivat Aminim are fine to be brought as liquids. And then we learned Truma from that, and there was a question as to whether when we learned from Truma, did it limit it to Tirosh and Yitzhar, or was it everything that was subsumed under Bikurim? But nobody limited Bikurim. How come all of a sudden now you have a Mishnah Shumot that says Bikurim is limited to Zeitim and Anavim? Mani, who's the author of that? Rabbi Yeshua. It's Rabbi Yeshua. Damar, Domi Nabuki Beatra. He learned from Bikurim and then brought the din over to Truma and then learned locally in Truma that we're only speaking about Tirosh and Yitzhar. But Gamar Lahula Bikurim mi Truma. And then it goes back, and once you know the din by Truma, Truma then goes back and teaches Bikurim about that limitation. It's a very interesting type of limud. We're learning from Bikurim to Truma, because Bikurim are called Truma, Once we now have, according to Rabbi Shua, a limitation by Truma of only Tirosh Nitzar, only Yayin and olive oil, Yayin and Shemen, that then goes back and tells you by Bikurim it's also only limited to Yayin and Shemen. V'hatznan, what about the Mishnah in Trumot that says, Ain't some kimet arbay mishum orla, ela yotzemin azitim anavim. By orla, you only have a din of liquids being problematic in from orla by olives and by grapes. Mani, again, who's the author of that position? Rabbi Yoshua'i, damar domi nabuki be'atra, because he learns from Bikurim and then learns to Truma locally. The gamalo the Bikurim mitruma, and then reverses that and says, what we know by Truma now teaches us and limits us by Bikurim. V'hadar maiti le orla, pre mi Bikurim. And then he has a gzeirah shava of pre, the word pre we've already seen by Bikurim. In Parshat Kedushim, when it speaks about Orla, says, V'chi tabal arts, v'natatum kol etz ma'achal, v'alatum alato et pir yo, shalosh shanim yelechem arilim lo yeachel. O v'shana riti kol bir ha'kodesh yilim la'shem. So, again, in Parshat Kedushim, when it speaks about Orla, it also uses the word pre, pir yo. And so there's a gzeir sheva pre, Orla, from Bikurim. And just like Bikurim are limited to wine and shemen, so too, Orla is limited to the liquid form that you're going to be chayav for is wine and shemen. So based on this, you would assume that then there's a limitation to where we say that the liquid is like the solid, which is that we would paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. And that would mean that it's limited to Bikurim, Truma, and Orla. Although the Rambam also mentions Kilei HaKerem as having that same din, that the yayin is like the fruit itself. But when it comes to any of the other Isurim, like the bright that we brought before about Tevel, Chadash, Hekte, Shvit, Kilayim, all of those that are Mashkim Yotzmeim Kamotan, that would only be a Din Darabonon, it would not be a Din Doraito. Whereas the Chazon Ish, in the view of the Rambam, and others point out that the Ramban himself says this, that the Din of Tirosh Nitzar being classified as liquids that make you Chayav, if you would be Chayav for the solids, is not only applicable to these Dinim, but applicable to all the dinim in the Torah, and that it's a broader din. Here, the Gemara only establishes the din with regards to these particular items. Once it's established, then it becomes a broader din that you can learn to other items in the Torah, even midoraita, at least with regards to yayin and shemen, like the Gemara did before, where it was able to do it through a tzada shaveh between one of these items and one of the four items that we started out the daf, as we did earlier in the daf. And through that, they're able to extend it to other dinim do raito. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Kuf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph.